right, welcome back, Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Phone lines open to you, 770-5790, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. Joining me right now, talk a little Texas and national politics, our good friend, Matt Bukowiak. He's a co-founder, of course, of MustReadTexas.com, GOP political strategist. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hey, Chad. Doing great. Good morning.
Appreciate you coming on. Let's start off with a piece you wrote for the Austin American-Statesman. And you have a piece that comes out, I believe, every Sunday in the Austin American-Statesman. This one you wrote about Wendy Davis and her failure on ethics, making a big contrast between her and Greg Abbott.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the Dallas Morning News really been, you know, leading on this in reporting different aspects of questions around Wendy Davis. A couple of weeks ago, a very detailed piece about how she has continually voted on matters that are helpful to her two-person law firm, particularly as it relates to one of her clients, the Transportation Authority in Northern Tarrant County in the Fort Worth area, the MTTA. So, you know, this particular story by Wayne Slater, which I referenced in the piece, which your listeners can find online, really painstakingly details how Davis, you know, switched her position, did legislative favors, voted the right way, even did things in her official capacity, writing letters to the Secretary of Transportation in order to set it up so that she could get business for her law firm. So, you know, it's one thing to have, look, we have a part-time legislature, and so there's the potential for conflict for every single member of the legislature. And very few members recuse themselves. So on the one hand, you have that type of circumstance, and so there's conflicts all the time in the legislature. On the other hand, in those cases, it's you might be voting on somebody with whom you have a stock in one of your mutual funds. It's pretty minor stuff. Mm-hmm. The kind of stuff that she's alleged to have done here is really pretty serious. And number two, when you run for governor, the standards have to be higher. It's a more powerful position to statewide office. It's the CEO of Texas. We're the second largest state in the country, the eighth or ninth largest economy in the world. You have to have a higher standard for ethics, and it would be all the more galling because she said, number one, when she opened a law firm, she would be very careful about conflicts of interest, which she hasn't. And number two, she said she would stop working with this law firm if she ran for governor, and she hasn't done that either.
Right.
So you compare that versus what Abbott's done in putting a really serious ethics reform plan out there. It's a pretty stark contrast.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, there are newspapers that are starting to bring some of this up now. And, you know, what's amazed me about this race between, and we still have a long ways to go, between Greg Abbott and Wendy Davis is the continued bad news, bad editorials, different opinion pieces that are coming out from the Dallas Morning News, from the Houston Chronicle, from different places, Texas Monthly, Paul Burka, you know, from traditional, you know, left-leaning editorials and left-leaning papers that are really hammering the Davis campaign. They can't get away from it.
Yeah, I think a couple of newspapers, two or three of them came out with, you know, really strong negative editorials about Wendy's conflicts of interest. After that Dallas Morning News story came out, and the Dallas Morning News had one, and I know San Antonio had one, there may have been one or two others. You know, look, I mean, she's running a campaign based on her celebrity. She hasn't put many ideas out there. She has put an education plan out there, which, you know, massively increases spending and really has very few, if any, reforms. And really not much else. While Abbott's put a serious border security proposal out there, a serious education reform proposal out there, a serious ethics proposal reform proposal out there, and I'm sure he'll have three or four more solid proposals that are out there. And he has a record of having been on the state Supreme Court, having been a lower court judge, having been attorney general for a very long time, and having a serious and accomplished record. Well, she's been, you know, a state senator for three and a half years or so. So it is a stark difference in experience, vision, and qualifications. And, you know, she has a tough campaign ahead of her. She is prepared, I think, to be governor. Doesn't have the kind of team around her that's going to help her put a thoughtful, policy-based campaign together, and they're just going to basically try and use every Democratic trick in the book to try to weaken Abbott. And so far, it's not working based on the polling that we've seen.
You know, I saw a very interesting editorial yesterday, and I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but it was from themonitor.com, and yeah. Carlos Sanchez talking about Greg Abbott reached out to him, said, hey, look, I'd love to have a debate down in the valley. And Battleground Texas has obviously focused on the Rio Grande Valley, saying we got to get voting numbers up because they believe that the majority of voters down the Rio Grande Valley would vote Democrat. Wendy Davis, her campaign really hasn't committed to anything as far as a debate goes. Isn't that a little odd, knowing that Battleground Texas, they're focusing on the Valley, they're focusing on the Hispanic vote, yet Wendy Davis is staying away? I mean, could this be because of her poor showing on primary night where she lost, what, 7 out of 14 border counties?
I think that's probably part of it. I think part of it is she has, some senior staff who are not from Texas who probably don't understand much about the Valley. Probably Carlos Sanchez is the McAllen Monitor. He used to be at the Waco Tribune Herald. He's a respected journalist in Texas that if you've been in Texas more than 5 minutes, you know who he is and what his qualifications are and record is. Yeah, in this case, what's interesting is usually you have, you know, the candidate who's behind is eager to do debates and is calling for them and is working to set them up. And you have the front runner kind of being slow to accept. In this case, though, you had Abbott go to a traditionally Democratic area in the Rio Grande Valley and say, we want you to host one. We want to get this together. We want to get this planned. We're proactively reaching out. Of course, Sanchez was thrilled. He started to work with a couple local television affiliates to try and get them on board. They were on board. They then approached the Davis campaign, and their former Harry Reid spokesman replied by email, well, we're really not scheduling debates right now. I'll get back with you later.
Yeah.
Basically, a real brush off, not very warm. And so,
that's how they've treated the media throughout the campaign, really.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, their media relations has been really pretty poor from the very beginning. And so in this case, all they do is they piss off, an editor at the McAllen Monitor in South Texas, which is in an area where she performed very poorly in the primary. So look, maybe they don't want to debate down there because of her extreme position on abortion. I don't know. I mean, I would presume to think they would want one. But, again, it's another sort of unforced error. All they should have said is we'd be delighted to participate in such a debate. Can we think about scheduling it, down the road a little bit? What kind of timeline did you have in mind? To begin a dialogue and make clear you're going to do it. But that's not what they did. They were sort of, putting it off, and it really rubbed this guy the wrong way to the point that he wanted to write an opinion editorial about it and call attention to it, and it did get a lot of attention yesterday and today.
Yeah, and I think it'll continue to get put a lot of pressure on the Davis campaign. It's just interesting seeing this because, in the past few elections, you've had, and of course it's been Governor Rick Perry in this position, but you've had the Democrats bashing Perry and bashing Republicans for not wanting to debate, and now it seems as though Wendy Davis, she can't be bothered right now. She just doesn't want to reply to anybody. Let's move on to this Ken Paxton deal. The Texas Tribune, they had an update over the weekend that Ken Paxton amended his ethics disclosure. And of course, you have the Branch campaign, which has been just pouncing on Ken Paxton. How big of a deal is this for the Ken Paxton campaign?
Yeah, look, I think in fairness, I think the Branch campaign has done a good job of bringing this particular issue to statewide attention and really pushing it and really trying to make Paxton play defense. And look, their campaign basically had to deal with that for 2 or 3 days last week. I mean, I guess he was still doing some sort of lower profile events, but he was unable to do some higher profile events while they were trying to get their house in order. And so he did amend the Texas ethics disclosures. He still has to deal with this other securities issue, which could have a criminal aspect to it. I don't know. My guess is it wouldn't, but it certainly could. So that's going to be sort of a variable. It's going to hang out there. Look, I think if this were a really close race where both candidates had very similar qualities and similar bases of support and similar fundraising, this could be a big problem. But I think the problem for Branch is that Paxton had a significant lead, has really consolidated conservatives, and that the runoff is likely to be a smaller turnout and a more conservative vote than the March 4th primary was. So Paxton's, goes into this thing with a lot of advantages. Plus, he can rerun the Ted Cruz TV ad, which was so helpful to him on the March 4th primary, which I presume they will do. So you know, I think, again, I think the Branch campaign has probably done as much with this as they possibly can, and kudos to them for doing that as a campaign. But whether at the end of the day it makes a difference, my guess is it won't. My guess is Paxton will still win and will be Attorney General.
Yeah, I think it's pretty tough for the voters maybe to wrap their minds around when it comes to ethics complaints, when it comes to these disclosures. It's not a sexy issue. You know, it's not one of those one of those issues that you know, voters really get pumped up about. It's one of those that they go, I really don't know what's going on here. I kind of like the guy anyway, so I'm going to go out and vote for him. I mean, it really, it doesn't seem like the Branch people can make much hay out of it.
Exactly. The question for the voter is, does this matter to me? Does it impact me? You know, and whether he crossed every T and dotted every I on an ethics form doesn't really impact them. In fact, I saw Paxton, you know, came back and said Branch left a number of nonprofits on whose board he sits off of his ethics forms, which he's required to include. So, you know, these ethics forms, a lot of members have minor problems with them. Most people don't care because it doesn't affect them. Now, the Davis thing was different because she was truly taking votes and taking positions and doing things in her official capacity that were financially benefiting herself.
Right.
And that's really a character question. That's an ethics question. That's really serious, I think, in a way that this thing isn't. Although, again, I'm not saying this thing isn't serious. It probably obviously is. The Paxton campaign would have been on defense for 2 or 3 days last week.
Right. Matt, tell folks what they can find up on the website this week.
Yeah, mustreadtexas.com, our nonpartisan political site for Texas. We have all the top news, opinion, and blog items from around Texas around the clock. We do have a daily email that we put out. We just updated it late last night with stuff from over the weekend. We'll be updating it today with all the news from across Texas. You can sign up at mustreadtexas.com.
All right, Matt Mikowiak, as always, appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chad. Take care.
Have a good one.